But we were talking about this, and I was telling Tink, I said, you know what, something that came to my mind was, how can I explain to people stuff? How do I feel when I'm trying to preach to people? Belinda, if somebody back here was from New Guinea, we've heard that this week, right, about New Guinea. We've heard a little bit about that this week. And they have no idea what a coat is, no idea what a shirt is, have no idea what colors are. Really, they just speak very little of our language. And you and they come to you, they call you on the phone, not directly talking to you, that's, and you have to explain to them how to put a coat on and what a coat is. They have no idea what it is. Could you do it within 20 to 30 minutes? It would be super difficult to try to tell somebody that there's a brown jacket hanging in the closet. They've got to go pick out what a jacket is, not even knowing what a jacket is. They have to go get it out of there. And then you've got to explain to them not only to get it out of there, but to put it on.
Can you Google them and
get some? Nope, no. This is, yeah, I'm talking totally hypothetical. I'm talking how, and I'll be honest with you, how a preacher or a teacher feels sometimes. Can I have an amen? Thank you. I me and her were talking. That's the way she feels every day talking to me. But I'm just here to tell you that sometimes this is nothing against you, but I hope you understand. The preachers sometimes preach stuff, and Alita can tell you this, her husband did, preach stuff over and over and over again. And you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, he just preached that last week. Well, do you realize there are people, my Bible tells me, without the Spirit of God, they don't understand the Word of God, number one. Amen? And there are people sometimes that even in churches sometimes having a hard time understanding what God's Word is. And there are times I feel like that guy, I feel like you being on the phone with somebody from New Guinea trying to tell them, this is what you need to help you. This is what you need to understand what the Word of God is trying to preach and teach to every one of us. Amen. I was talking to her about that. I mentioned it kind of like to Ken and Jamie out there this morning about it. And Ken even brought up something. You know, if you laid a bunch of pennies up here on the altar, and I had Luke come up, I said, Luke, grab these pennies up. You can do it with your fingers, right? What if I put a big, thick glove on your hand? You couldn't hardly pick them up, could you? Absolutely. And see, sometimes we do stuff like that. We're not totally grasping what God wants us to get. Now, I'm going to preach on something this morning. I may have preached on it before, maybe not. I want to preach to you on things God don't know. And you're going to look at me and you're going to say, what in the world is he talking about? You'll get what I'm talking about here in a little bit. Things that God don't know. If you would, turn to 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. 2 Chronicles 16, 9. When you get there, if you can feel like it this morning, please stand. Let's read in honor of God's word. Let's read it together. If you can this morning. 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, we'll read one verse, the 9th verse. It's up here on the board. It's up here on the screen this morning, too. Again, thanks to my wife. She got that up here this morning. Appreciate that. All right. Here it goes. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Now, I told you I'm going to preach on things that God don't know. Well, if his eyes go to and fro the whole earth, where are things that he, what doesn't he know? To shew himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him, herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to come thanking you, Father, this morning for this opportunity to be in your house this morning. You're so good to us, Lord. We love you. We praise you. Thank you for those that are here this morning. Thank you for the souls. Thank you for those that have made their way out here, Lord. I pray, Father, that this word would go out, Lord, the way that you would have it to go out. And I want to give you the praise, and I want to give you the honor and the glory for it all. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. And you may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. I can tell you this morning, Jeremy, there's lots of things I don't know. Maybe I don't know and I don't understand. You understand this? I wrote some things down. These are things that maybe you've never thought of, but my little small brain, I think about stuff like this. Why do you park in the driveway and drive in a parkway? You ever thought about that? Why do we park in a driveway and drive on a parkway? Why do they say stuff like that for? If flying is so safe, why do we call it a terminal? Right? Have you ever found it a bit unnerving? Have you ever found this bit of, that doctors' offices are called practices? They're supposed to be pretty smart, right? What are they doing, practicing on us? Oh, this is one that I know the ladies will love this. Why do hot dogs come in a pack of 10 and hamburger and hot dog buns come in a pack of 8? Lay that out there for yourself. I mean, there's lots of things I don't know, okay? What's another word for synonym? Synonym. What, a synonym. What's another word for it? Or maybe we should ask our president this one, back to New Guinea again. Is it true the cannibals don't eat clowns because they taste funny? You see, there's plenty of things I don't know. Seriously, I know I'm being a little bit facetious here. I'm just going a little bit over top, but I'm just saying there's plenty of things really that, you know, if you think about it, especially in English language, that don't make no sense, right? Some things don't. I will not lay out much of a scenario. We've all done it before, but I'm just telling you, I'm just saying there are lots of things we don't know. But did you know there's things also that God doesn't know as well? Now, I read that scripture to you a little bit ago there, 16:9, where it says his eyes go everywhere, right? Doesn't that grip your attention whenever I say that? You're looking at me and you're thinking, I don't know about you, preacher. But just bear with me. But there's some things that he has chosen not to know. Number one, God doesn't know a sinner that he doesn't love. Amen? God doesn't know a sinner that he does not love. I'm telling you, he saved this old boy one day. He saved me. He loved me. I'm telling you, he loved me before I was when I was unlovable. God doesn't know a sinner that he doesn't love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't it just interesting that in the Bible, that God nor Jesus directly say, I love you. Did you know that? I didn't know that until I started studying for this. They don't directly say, I love you, but they show you that they do. Amen? My wife, I guarantee you, would rather much more me show her that I love her than I would say it all the time and not do anything about it. I'm just here to tell you this morning. Listen, it doesn't. But they sure did show it. Listen, in Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for us. He showed his love for us. Because God doesn't know a sinner that he doesn't love. Listen, I've said this before. There are people in hell that God loves. Prove me wrong. He loved them enough that he made a way for them to get to heaven. They're the ones that turned it down. They're the ones that turned it down. It still doesn't mean that he still does not love them. He does. But that love, they didn't give it back to him. Number two thing that I thought that God doesn't know. God doesn't know a sin that he doesn't hate. Did you know that? There's not one sin that God does not hate. You say, well, that's a pretty strong word. Well, I'm going to read some stuff here in a little bit that God specifically says that he hates. There's no sin that, no matter how people try to make side deals, And no matter with him or how they understand that it's just my weaknesses, that's just my weakness. I'm telling you, there isn't a sin that God doesn't hate. He drove Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden because he hated sin so much. God was so upset, to say the least. God hated David's sin. Am I right? When you read Psalms 51, you can see the effects that God that it had on David whenever he sinned. You can see it. And God was upset with him. And look what David wrote in Psalms 51. And I want you to highlight these three words in 10, 11, and 12, the verses of 51. Create, cast, and restore. Those three words right there. And it says in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And then restore. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Restore unto me. Listen, God hated sin. He hates sin, but that doesn't mean that God still doesn't make a way for us to get our sins under the blood. He still does. While these aren't by no means the only sin God's hate, in Proverbs chapter 6, he tells us this in verses 16 to 19. These six things doeth the Lord hate. That's pretty strong. I've said this before. That's pretty strong words. But it says, these six things God hates. Seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that deviseth wickedness, wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, and a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Try that one on for size. God hates these things. Understand that. The third thing that God doesn't know. God doesn't know any other way of salvation except through Jesus Christ. He doesn't know any other way. Not a thing. There had to be a payment for sin. Am I right? There had to be a payment for sin. And that repayment required a perfect sacrifice. We just celebrated Easter, and we understand about the perfect sacrifice that Jesus Christ was. There's at least 13 verses in the Bible that tell us plainly that Jesus is the only way. Now, I'm not going to read every one of them, but I'm going to give you the verses to look up for yourself if you want to. And let me get this out here. John 3:16, which I just read. John 3:36. John 10:9. John 11:25 and 26, John 14:6, Acts 14:12, Acts 16:30 and 31, Romans 10:9, Romans 6:23, which I'm going to read here shortly, 1 Corinthians 8:6, 1 Timothy 2:5, 1 John 5:20 and 1 John 5:11 through 12. Every one of them specifically tell us that Jesus Christ is the only way. So when the world or anybody else tries to tell us that, you know, there's all ways to heaven and there's all this and all that and we just serve the same God, it's just called different names. No, it's not. My Bible tells me that Jesus is the only way. Romans 6:23. For this tells us this, for the wages of sin is death, right? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the only way that we can have eternal life, is through Jesus Christ our Lord. I know I say this quite a bit, but I'm telling you, being baptized does not give you eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Coming to church does not give you eternal life. Good things. Don't say I'm trying to put all this stuff down. That's not. I'm telling you, paying your tithes does not give you eternal life. I could go on and on and on. I'm telling you, the only thing that gives us eternal life is for us to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen. Covered by the blood. Covered by the blood of Jesus. That's what gives us eternal life. God didn't know any other way. So what did He do? He sent the very best sacrifice that He had. And that was the Son. Things change, but Jesus being the only way never will. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever. Doesn't matter. Folks, when I looked at the wickedness of men today, do you know what I think of? It's not that there's only one way. You know what I think of, Patty? That there's a way at all. If you were God and I was God, we'd look at some of this stuff down here. We wouldn't let them ever have a chance. But God doesn't look at it like that. He said, whosoever will. There are times, I kid you not, I look and I think, man alive, you mean, why is there even one way, Jamie? Why is there even one way? I'm telling you, the wickedness of man, the wickedness of man has got a tat. But thanks be to God, there is that one way. I thank God that one day this old wicked heart felt the call of the Holy Spirit. I thank God that I got on my knees and I said, Lord, here I am, a sinner that does not even deserve to be even anything with you. But He seemed fit to save my soul. And I'm telling you, He can do the same for you. Praise God. How many of you here have scars? I've got a scar right here on my wrist where I ran through a screen door one time. Anybody else in here? You can raise your hand. Anybody got scars? I look around this room, I think just about everybody put their hands up, right? And if you don't have physical scars, I bet you've got emotional scars and that kind, right? I bet you got those. How many of you know, Tony, that when you get to heaven, you ain't going to have a scar one? You're not going to have a scar one. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. But when you get there, guess who's going to have scars? Amen? He's going to have scars in his wrist where they drove those nails through. He's going to have scars through his feet where they drove those nails through. He's going to have scars on his back where they beat him senseless. And he's going to have scars on his head where they put the crown of thorns. And you know what? We're going to see them time after time when we're up there. And they're going to be a reminder of, praise God, of why we made it with all the scars that we don't have then. Amen. We're going to be able to do that. Listen, praise God. I'm telling you, I thank God for that. That, you know, He took it for us. How many of you have, listen, praise God. Praise God. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. Those in heaven are going to see Him and know and see those scars. And there's going to be those that never accepted Him are going to remember. They're going to be remembered that they had the opportunity to get to know Him. Praise God this morning. Constant reminder. He took our place. For those that don't make it, it'll be a constant reminder as well. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We must be saved. It isn't an option. If you're going to be saved, you've got to go through Jesus Christ. God doesn't know any other way of salvation except through Jesus Christ. God doesn't know any better time to be saved than today. Can I lay that out there to you today? I may be preaching to everyone. I may be preaching to the choir. But can I tell you something? Today is a day of salvation. Today is the day that the Lord could be talking to you. Hebrews 3:7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear His voice. Today, if you will hear His voice. Isaiah 1:18. says this, come now. Remember that. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. He's telling you, come now. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. He's saying, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. 2 Corinthians verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, in the day of salvation, I have succored to thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. It doesn't say anything about tomorrow in those verses of Scripture, right? Can I tell you now? Now. God doesn't have to deal with you any more than once. He doesn't have to. Because a lot of folks will say tomorrow, I'll get saved. I'll make it right tomorrow. But guess what? For a lot of folks, tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow never comes. Listen, there's been a lot of car wrecks lately that takes people's lives. There's been a lot of other things going on that takes people's lives. And just maybe that God had been dealing with them. And he's saying, now come. Do it while he's drawing you. A lot of folks were like the rich man over in Luke chapter 12, remember? He said, he had plenty. And he said, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tear down my barns. And I will build bigger barns. And what I'll do after that, I'll say to my soul, it's just great. It's just hunky-dory. I also say it in West Virginia language. It's just hunky-dory. But guess what? God called him. He said, thou fool. What do you call it? Thou fool. That's pretty rough, is it not? To be called a fool? There's a lot of people out there that are living their lives just like that. They're living their lives just like that. They're thinking, you know, I've got it made. I've got this done. I'm this part. I've got this much money. I've got this. Listen to me. All the money in the world does not buy you salvation. All the stuff that you think that is this awesome out there will not buy you salvation. It takes Jesus Christ. He said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? I want to give you a little side note. Have you ever went to an estate sale? How many of you in here been to estate sales? When you go to an estate sale, you know what that is? That's the stuff that those people had gathered for all those years. And you know what? It's there for somebody else to get. Because you know why? They couldn't take it in the grave with them. Can't take it to the grave with you. Can't take it to heaven with you. And you know what? You're not going to take it to hell with you. It's for somebody else to try to bid over or fight over, however they do it. But I'm here to tell you, thou fool, if you were lost today, this is the best day to get saved is today. Today. This morning. Today and right now is the only promise you have to be saved is right now while I'm talking to you. You could go out of this church and the Holy Spirit may never, ever deal with you again. Never. And I'm telling you, you ain't going to be saved unless the Holy Spirit's knocking on your heart. Another thing that God doesn't know. God doesn't know any life that he cannot change. Why? Because my Bible tells me, behold, all things become new. Behold, all things become new. There's any man in Christ, a new creature, and old things are passed away. Behold, Mary Magdalene had 7 demons cast out of her. Right? Had 7 demons cast out of her. She got to know Jesus and her life changed. Paul was putting people to death and throwing them in prison. But guess what? He come to know Jesus and Patty, his life changed. I don't compare myself to any of those people. But I'm telling you, when I met Jesus, my life changed. And I've been saying this a lot lately and I want you to understand this. No change, no Jesus. There'll be a change in your life. If you don't know, if your life never changed the moment that you got down at wherever that altar was at, if you have not changed, you don't know Jesus that I know. Zacharias was a tax collector. stole money from people. He got to know Jesus, meeting Jesus, and everything changed in his life after that. You know Jesus personally, it will change you. It will change you. God doesn't know anybody, whether it's in this building or out of it, that he cannot change if they are willing to be changed. Can I have an amen? God doesn't know any problem or obstacle that he can't solve. Right? God doesn't know that. He doesn't know anything. With God, nothing is impossible. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, what? All things are possible. Can anybody tell me what all means? I say this a lot. What's all mean? It means all. All things are possible. I'm telling you, we could be looking at some of the bad things in our life going on, and we could think that, oh man, there's just no way out. Can I tell you something? We serve a God with all things are possible. We serve a God when all things are possible. And I praise him for that. But with God, nothing is impossible. God sees obstacles as opportunity. Did you know that? God sees obstacles as opportunities to do stuff in your life and in my life that, you know what, it just gives us the faith to keep right on going and keep on doing things. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace, and in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Say it with me. I have overcome the world. Not me. He has overcome the world. And because he overcome the world, brothers and sisters, we have a chance to be overcomers too. It's like the song said. I'd heard that Mandisa had died. Mandisa died earlier this week too. And that's one of the songs that I've always loved that song. Because why? Because we are overcomers. We are overcomers. Listen, our God, when the Red Sea needed parted, what happened? God showed up. They overcame. Whenever the sun needed to stand still, God showed up. When a giant needed brought down, God showed up. I'm telling you, there are giants in your life. Here this morning, some people have got giants in their life. I'm telling you that God is a God of... You can be an overcomer through the God that we serve. He's able to take down giants. Be of good cheer. Because we can be overcomers. What shall then we say these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Has anyone ever asked, how are you doing? Have you ever been asked, how are you doing? Well, you're just almost like hearing an organ recital. Well, I've got this going on. I've got that going on. Lord, forgive me. But... You got a list a mile long about how bad things are. Did you ever once tell them, hey, praise God, I'm an overcomer? Did you ever once tell them that? Listen, I'm pointing back at Dave. Maybe you don't feel this, but I'm pointing to me, and I'm going to tell you this morning. No, I'd rather Jamie just go on and just tell him, oh, I've got this going on, I've got that going on. Not even one time a leader to ever say, I'm an overcomer. I'm going to make it home one of these days. I'm an overcomer. Praise his name this morning. Listen, over in 1 John, whenever I was doing this, God showed me 1 John 2:13-14. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Anybody here overcome the wicked one this morning? Man, you should be able to shout the house down this morning if you've overcome the wicked one this morning. Who is the wicked one? We know who the wicked one is. Praise God. When he saved our soul, he brought us and lifted our feet up out of that miry clay and put it upon a solid rock. Praise his name. We have overcome. And listen to the rest of that. It says, the wicked one, I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome. The wicked one. Said it again. Overcomers. What we are. John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We're overcomers. Don't tell folks what you're going through. Tell them what you've overcome and what you're going to overcome. God doesn't know of any problem that he can't solve. He doesn't know of any obstacle that's too big. And the last thing I want to be, God doesn't know anyone he can't use. There isn't a person in here he can't use. You don't know my story, but I'm telling you, I've said this before, the last person that you'd ever thought be up here preaching would have been this boy right here. I'm just telling you. My life wasn't down that path. And I'm telling you, if it hadn't have been for God saying, listen, I'm going to use that boy one day. I'm going to use him one day. And God had a sense of humor. Not only did he save me, he called me to preach. He called me to preach. And I thank God for that. It says, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That's how much God loves those. You may think you're not very smart back here this morning. You may think that you're not this and you're not that. You may think that, preacher, I'm not smart. Preacher, you don't know my past. Preacher, I'm this and preacher, I'm that. Can I tell you something this morning? God saves your soul. There isn't one person that he can't use. Oh, Charlie Griffith from over in Ohio. I don't know if he's in relation to you guys or not, but he was a preacher over there. Never went past, I think it was the sixth grade. Couldn't hardly read anything but the Bible. But man, the man could preach. People in these big churches and stuff didn't want him to come in there because they thought he was ignorant and dumb. No, he preached the Word of God. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. God can use anyone to get his will done if you're willing to be used. Most everyone here knows that. But God still saved a boy like me and called me to preach. Listen, God doesn't know anyone he can't use. I hope and pray. I know when I first said that this morning, I know it's a little deceiving. God knows everything, but there's some things that God doesn't know. Amen? Can I tell you this morning, if anybody's here today and they do not know Jesus as their Savior, can I ask you something? They're going to come get a song. Blend if you want to come get a song. If you're here this morning and have never felt the Spirit of God in your life, have never felt it, I'm begging you, come up here. We'll pray with you. If it's knocking upon your heart, I want to pray with you this morning. I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you're at right now. Maybe you've backslid this morning. Maybe you're here this morning like that. This altar's open for you this morning. Maybe this morning you just need to draw closer to God. This altar's used for more than just certain things, right? It's things that God wants for you to draw closer to Him about. They get this song. Please come.